J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted apart? Does your memory stray to a bright summer day when I kissed you and called you sweetheart? Do the chairs in your parlor seem empty and bare? Do you gaze at your doorstep and picture me there? Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I call? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight? You know, I wonder if you're lonesome tonight. I wonder a lot of things. Like, are you human? How do you live with yourself? Are you a reptile with a nice hairdo? You sneaky tramp! You lied to me! You told me you loved me, you never loved me! You said forever, remember that one? Oh, there's a joke, forever! Forever, honey!
Yeah, what does forever mean to you? Till another guy comes into your life with more money and a better car.
Oh, I'm sorry. We better break up. I'm not growing as a person. We need to get away from each other.
Oh, that was a great idea. Yeah, let's break up, honey. Did you grow any? Are you any taller? I'll tell you what you learned. You learned how to break my heart.
But I'd rather go on hearing your lies than to go on living without you. That's how sick I am. Well, I'm standing here. The stage is bare.
Oh, I can't say it. You know what you did. You know what you did. You were wrong. Say it, you stupid, stubborn pig. I was wrong. Oh. Oh. Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I call back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight?
I hope you die.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Monday, May 2nd, 2022. 199 days remaining in our American democratic system, as we have known. How you doing, kids? You're at jcontheline.com. That would make me JC. Hi. Are you like me in that, and by the way, I hope you're not, are you like me in that it seems like the earthquake on Friday evening was about a month ago? So much stuff seemed like it happened between now and last Friday. It's unbelievable. A lot of people immediately went running to their cell phones and punched in Peerless Park because they didn't even know where it was down near Valley Park. But things really rocked there for a couple of seconds. Only a two, what did they, I think initially, what did they say, a 2.1 or a 2.5, and then they jacked it up a couple of points. And the thing to remember about the Richter scale is that it was invented by a nudist. Charles Richter, honest to God, was an avid nudist, and somewhere along the line, I guess he said, we need to invent something to measure earthquakes. And the thing about the Richter scale is it's not like any other system of measurement that we have. In other words, if you take out a ruler, it's 12 inches, and, you know, 2 inches plus 2 inches is 4. On a Richter scale, 2 inches or two points plus another 2 points isn't double. It's exponentially larger. I don't know if I explained that very well, but that's really all I know about the Richter scale and Charles Richter. And now we can move on. If you have tickets to the ball game today, remember they have moved that game up now to 12:15. That was originally going to be a 3 o'clock start. They've moved it up to 12:15 because of the abysmal weather that is moving into the St. Louis area across the Midwest later on this afternoon and especially overnight. Overnight, it could really rock. You get to like midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning, and you might want to try to get a nap today at some point because you're probably going to be awakened in the middle of the night. They're talking about some pretty evil stuff that's going to come through in the overnight hours. The rain should probably hold off until late afternoon, early evening, so they moved that game up to 12:15. Ollie lost Saturday's game, by the way, talking about things seeming like they were a month ago, like the earthquake at game Saturday feels like it was about a month ago. But, you know, Miles Michaelis, going into the eighth inning, score tied at zero. He's at 95 pitches. That's 5 short of his max this season. But they leave him in the eighth inning. He gives up 2 home runs. He's still in after the first home run. He's still pitching. Sorry, Ollie, that one's on you. I still scratch my head over that. That's one of those scary managerial moves because everybody and their brother watching that game, whether you're at the ballpark yourself or watching or listening, whatever the case may be, you're sitting there screaming, going, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Get him out of there. Wow. So then Ryan Helsley comes in yesterday's game, and he's hitting 100. He's hitting 101. All of a sudden, 103.1. 103.1. Initially, they said that was the hardest fastball in all of Major League Baseball this year, and then they amended that, and they said for a strikeout. One way or the other, it's still 103.1 miles an hour. Unbelievable. Do you think maybe we've found our closer, finally? Major League Baseball suspends Dodger pitcher Trevor Bauer for 2 years. He is appealing, and I don't mean like he's attractive. I mean from a legal sense, he's appealing. He continues to deny any wrongdoing, but a couple of different websites have published the accounts of 2 different women who have been making the allegations, and they're pretty darn specific. That's all I can say. Bill Murray says the issue on the set of his new movie Being Mortal, you know, because they shut that thing down based on allegations against Bill Murray. He said that he did something that he thought was funny. It wasn't taken that way. He says he's open to learning from his mistakes and also going back to work. He was on television, I think it was on CNBC for some reason over the weekend, and it seemed pretty sincere. Sure seemed that way. No Danny Masterson in the big That 70s Show reunion. That's going to be called That 90s Show. Topher Grace, Mila Kunis, Ashton Kutcher, all coming back. No Danny Masterson. You know, he's got those rape allegations he's going to trial for. Guy gives me the creeps. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame concluded their fan ballot on Friday, coming in with first place, 930,000 votes, Duran Duran. This does not guarantee their induction. The official class of 2022 inductees will be announced sometime this month. Can we talk about Costco for a minute? And can we have this discussion without somebody trying to cancel me? I'm not making this up. You all know what I'm about to say is true. I just don't understand it. I'm putting this out there because I'm trying to understand why when you go to Costco. And again, I was there yesterday afternoon, and it looked like the day before the Super Bowl. I don't know why everybody was in Costco yesterday. You couldn't even move in the place. And I only had to get a couple of very small things. You know, one of those trips where you think to yourself, if I go at the right time, I could be in and out of here in less than 15 minutes. But I go in, and I just don't understand what this deal is where, I guess it's, I would say, European families. They come like in a bus. They bring everybody. They bring grandpa. They bring grandma. They bring great-grandma. All of the snotty, bratty kids. And that's not reserved for just European families, by the way. The kids are running full speed through the place. They're climbing on stuff. They're doing, you know, like martial arts stuff in the aisles with one another. And like, where all these people come from? Going to Costco. You're not going to fucking Disney World. And that's only problem number one. How about these people who, you know, need to be surgically separated from their carts? They're pushing the cart, but it's got to go with them everywhere. You know, you're trying to look at the ground beef or something, and you got a woman standing there with the cart right in front of everything, right against the meat counter right there. And it's like, you could leave the counter over there and you could get more. Oh, jeez. And then even that little refrigerated room where they have the fruits and the vegetables, where you go in there and it's about 20 degrees. And, you know, you go in there in shorts and flip-flops and a short-sleeve shirt. You can't even wait to get out of there. It's just grab the asparagus and get out! And yesterday I saw something I'd never seen before. Some guy took his cart in there. That's a tiny little room. You don't have to bring your cart in there. And then you get those people who are just, you know, they're in their own world. They are on the phone while they're shopping and they're pushing their cart through. There's no self-awareness whatsoever. And you're just trying to get in and get out. And these people are like making an afternoon of it, just in another world. I thought Trevor Noah absolutely killed at the White House Washington Correspondents' Dinner on Saturday night. I'm not a big fan of his. I don't find his show appealing at all. I've stopped watching it. I love Jordan Klepper. Roy Wood Jr. is funny too, but that doesn't get me to watch. If Jordan Klepper does one of those interview pieces, it'll show up on the internet. I'll eventually see it, but I'm not going to sit there and watch an entire half-hour show because Trevor Noah just doesn't do anything for me. So he shows up at the White House Correspondents' Dinner the other night and does something that's really, really smart. More comedians could learn from this thing because you got to watch out. You know, you're playing a very, very tough room. A lot of really, really stuck-up, stuffy, arrogant people in that place. And, you know, you tell a joke and then you have to wait because some people will groan, some people will boo, some people will laugh. Trevor Noah, he just went in there. He was like on speed dial. He would just went up there and just did joke after joke after joke after joke. He didn't really wait to see what the reaction of the crowd was going to be. He wasn't milking it for applause. I guess he's thinking, let me just crank out these jokes and let the pieces fall where they may. And it really worked. He just kept going and going. And the material was really good. Probably the best line was when he was he looked over to Joe Biden and he said, I just know that your approval ratings tend to go up when you're standing right next to a biracial African-American guy, obviously making a reference to Obama. It was pretty funny. And Biden was great about the whole thing. You know, they were laughing, which is what, you know, you're supposed to do with those things, which when it really comes down to it is a roast. And if you are not interested in being roasted, then don't show up at a fucking roast. Even Donald Trump knew that on the Comedy Central one. You got to sit there in that chair and let people make fun of you. And the stuff is brutal. It's brutal. But you just got to sit there and you got to take it. I roasted Smash, who was being inducted into this the ridiculous organization. But, you know, he's my buddy. He asked me if I would do it. I said, sure. Showed up at this thing. The people booed me. But I was doing my jokes, and the jokes were funny. And even the people who were booing me just because of who I am were still laughing because the stuff was funny. And you do these roasts, you know, out of love and affection, really, is what it comes down to. Because you can't possibly say the things that you say about somebody in a roast without them understanding from the get-go that it's all done out of, you know, true affection and admiration. And there's some people who still don't get stuff like that. A lot of people going back to work these days after the pandemic. 23 million Americans adopted a pet during the pandemic. That's a lot. And now those people are all going back to work and they don't want to leave the pet at home. And maybe even in some cases, it's not even a good idea to leave the pet at home because the pet would just completely freak out. It's been used to having you there all the time, and now all of a sudden you're going to be gone for like, you know, 8-10 hours a day. Probably not good for the animal either. So a lot of workplaces are saying, yeah, you can bring the dog in if you want. Most dogs get along. It's like when you drop your dog off in doggy daycare or something, and there's a lot of butt sniffing that goes on right at the beginning, and then eventually, you know, the dogs just, they go run and they play. But there's always, you know, there's always that one dog that, for whatever reason, isn't assimilated very well and has got to bark. And then, you know, somebody's always got to bring a chihuahua into that. And I've never met a chihuahua that wasn't an asshole. When I was a little boy, we had a chihuahua living right next door. And that dog hated me. Dog hated everybody except its owner. And it's not just like a bark, like a regular dog barks at you. If it doesn't know you, it barks. But then it sort of, you know, sends off the message, hey, I'm not so sure about this. You might want, don't come near me yet. I don't really know you. But a chihuahua will just scream and just yell. I mean, it's barking, but it's basically screaming. And it's showing its teeth. And it's, you know, people complain about pit bulls. And I think for good reason, by the way, but I'm softening my my perspective on pit bulls as I learn more about them. It used to be where I wouldn't even go near a pit bull, and now I'm not as terrified of them as I used to be, but chihuahuas, still. And I hate those ladies who carry them around in a little bag, too, like a little purse. I'm an animal lover, but something wrong with chihuahuas that they're that aggressive. Plus, it looks like if you just pick them up the wrong way, they'll break in half. St. Louis's own Ellie Kemper turns 42 today, of course, from The Office and the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I've never met her. I'm told she's really, really a sweet gal, by the way. Another one of these Catholic girls, you know, from the Webster Groves area. They're going to the Catholic schools, like Jenna Fisher. Jenna Fisher is very, very sweet, by the way. These are really, really nice people. And, you know, Ellie Kemper has done stuff. I think it's for Funny or Die, the website Funny or Die. It's that Will Ferrell, Adam McKay thing that does so much funny stuff. And because she is a Catholic girl, and again, this will get people mad at me too, but we all know about the Catholic girls. They are, in many cases, late to the party. They will not go all the way at a young age, but they will oftentimes go in one specific direction, which is down. And in fact, Ellie Kemper did a whole thing about blowjobs that is really funny. And you're like, you're Ellie Kemper. You're like Jenna Fisher. You're a little Catholic schoolgirl. And Jenna Fisher, by the way, no prude either. That Walk Hard Dewey Cox thing with John C. Reilly. I mean, there's a couple of scenes in there where, wow. You're sitting there going, I like this. As long as we're talking about women who make men go crazy, let's talk about men who make women go crazy. David Beckham, 47 today. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, 50 today. Mika Brzezinski is 55 from MSNBC. Christine Baranski, who's been in everything, and she's so good in that Steve Martin, Eddie Murphy movie, Bowfinger. Christine Baranski, 70 today. She's from Buffalo, New York. Lou Gramm, Foreigner's lead singer, although he hasn't been with them since 2003, but he was the guy who sang Cold as Ice, Feels Like the First Time, Hot Blooded, Double Vision, Urgent, Waiting for a Girl Like You. I want to know what love is. I almost said I don't want to know what love is. I want to know what love is. Jukebox Hero. And you think to yourself, he must have been a really, really happy guy with all the success of the band. And then you have a conversation with Lou Gramm.
The A-List Interview with JC and the Morning Show Graham.
Lou Gramm and Foreigner's series of rock ballads.
Was the temptation to do more of those and sort of pull away from your image and what had been a decisively rock image at that time? Because it must have been very tempting.
I was certainly aware of it. I liked Waiting for a Girl. I thought it was a good rock ballad. And I Want to Know What Love Is. That's really a one-of-a-kind song. Then after that came I Don't Want to Live Without You. I didn't like it. I really didn't even want to sing it. Waiting for a Girl was our last single on Foreigner 4. I Want to Know What Love Is was our first single on Agent Provocateur. And then the next album, the first single, was I Don't Want to Live Without You. So that's three ballads in a row. And in the dead quiet of the night, you could hear our rock fans leading us.
Not everything is as it appears. from time to time. I remember this. It was a Sunday night 11 years ago, and they said the president, and this would be Barack Obama at the time, president is going to make a special speech here at 7 o'clock. Very, very unusual. And then they say 7 o'clock, but what they do is they build in like 5 minutes for all of the networks to basically set it up and go, dun-dun-dun, ba-dun-dun, ba-dun-dun, this is an ABC News special report. And they do all that. And then the anchor guy comes on. Yeah, they've called him into work. Something very interesting is going to be happening here. And if you recall, and this is probably on YouTube somewhere. I probably should have pulled it up for you today, but it's Monday. What the hell? All of the news operations, all of the networks, all the 24-hour cable stations, everybody sitting there speculating as to what this special thing was. Nobody had the slightest idea. They were guessing all sorts of stuff. They weren't within 1,000 miles of what the president was about to say, and that was that Osama bin Laden had been taken out by SEAL Team 6. And what we know now about that operation with one helicopter becoming disabled and just how complicated the thing was. And then the movie Zero Dark Thirty with Jessica Chastain. Oh, my God, she's so good in that movie. If you haven't seen that movie, go see that movie. 19 years ago would be the big whoops moment for George W. Bush, who stood on the flight deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln with a banner that read, "Mission Accomplished." Insinuating that the major combat operations in Iraq were over. Well, he didn't insinuate. That's exactly what he said. And, of course, we know that was not the case. But it made for a nice photo op. 25 years ago today, 1997, the first Austin Powers movie was released. I took you on a TV tour of the brand new Kiel Center. Back on this date in 1994, it was at Channel 4 at the time, and the folks brought me in, and they're like, oh, yeah, we go in there about every 6 to 8 months and just sort of chronicle the progress of the project. And the PR people were really nice about it, and I'd bring the TV cameras in, and we showed the transformation of the old Kiel, although it was funny because if you'll recall, they put the whole thing together, and somebody forgot the refrigeration system. They built the whole thing for the Blues to play hockey, and somebody forgot, oh, that's right, we're going to need ice at some point. That's a true story. They had to appropriate more money to put a refrigeration system in. I was in Los Angeles on this date back in 1987, sitting opposite Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman. The movie was Ishtar, largely regarded as one of the worst movies ever made, but I still got to interview those two guys, and that was pretty fucking cool, to be honest with you. In 1997, David Letterman showed up in the building at 1 Memorial Drive, KMOV. He did about 10 cities in a week and just went from city to city after CBS acquired David Letterman's late night show after he left NBC. He couldn't have been nicer, by the way, and in fact, in all of the interviews that I saw, he really appreciated what he saw because it reminded him of the way that local television was back in the day when he was a television weatherman in Indianapolis. And I think it sort of brought home some really, really fond memories for him because, you know, when it comes down to it, there's not a lot of difference between and among local TV stations. They're all pretty much the same. And I think he, like I said, had fond memories of his days in local television and, coming back down from the network level down to just a local television station, a CBS affiliate in St. Louis, really gave him sort of a warm feeling. I think he really, really did enjoy that trip. We did our first live show from the former Soviet Union, Russia, back in 1990 on yesterday's date. And on this date, 1984, and I told you the story a couple of weeks about blind box ads. And I don't know if they exist in other industries, but they do in the radio business. When a radio station wants to do something sort of big in terms of a new hire, they want to hire, usually it's a morning guy or a morning show, and they're like, look, we need to make a move here. We're getting our asses kicked in the morning. We need to bring in a big hotshot morning show. So they started looking around, and in the broadcast trade papers, the magazines that came out back in those days. Now everything's on a website, but back then you'd wait on Friday for this publication called Radio and Records, and it would have all the job opportunities. And frequently they would have something called a blind box ad, where let's just say a radio station in Kansas City wanted to hire a new morning show, but they didn't want anybody else. They didn't want their competitors to know that they were about to make a major move like this. So they would just say, look, a radio station in the Midwest, major station looking for a new morning show, send your tape and your resume to such and such. And it would be like a post office box. And then you would send the tape and the resume, not having any idea where it was going. And then you would sit there and you would wait. And if they liked your stuff, then they would say, oh, yeah, that was us. Well, in this particular case in 1984, it was KSHE. I had sent a couple of different tapes and resumes to this blind box ad, and they finally called up and said, yeah, it was us. And thus began the negotiations to bring me to the Gateway City. We have two cats and a dog. Most experts agree keeping your cats indoors is best, but if they do roam around, this is good to know. A new study found most outdoor cats don't venture that far from home too often. They spend 79% of their time within about 150 feet of the front door. The average cat in the study maxed out at about 1,200 feet from home. That's four football fields away, which is pretty far, but that number might be misleading. A small percentage of the 100 cats they tracked threw the curve off by traveling a lot farther than the others. So a few of them end up more than a mile away, but they were the exception. So in general, they say most cats stick pretty close to home. We tend to think different dog breeds have certain personalities, but a new study found that might not be true. If your dog is nuts, don't blame it on the type of dog they are. Researchers looked at the genes of more than 2,000 canines and talked to 18,000 dog owners, and they found that all sorts of personality traits exist across all different breeds. Here's the quote: at the end of the day, every dog is really an individual. End quote. Now, that doesn't mean none of the traits are inherited. Things like howling or barking too much can be passed down, but it has more to do with whether their mom or dad was a barker and less to do with the breed itself. Also, another study said, and this Chihuahua thing, Chihuahuas are thrown off the curve. Anyhow, turns out Jack Russell Terriers, on average, lived the longest, 12.7 years. Then Yorkshire Terriers, 12.5. Border Collies, 12.1 years. Springer Spaniels, 11.9. And French Bulldogs, and I know people who have them, and they're insanely expensive. French Bulldogs live, on average, 4.5 years. That's it. Some people take their dogs on vacation. Mitt Romney straps his to the top of the car. I wonder how many votes he lost with that one statement. Anyhow, if you are going on a trip, and I think a lot of people will now, finally, this year, we don't know what this COVID thing is leading to. I'm getting a little nervous about this again, but I don't think people are going to stay home this summer. They asked a bunch of flight attendants, all right, can you guys who are constantly traveling, can you men and women give us some packing tips? I was guilty of this for a long time. I didn't know how to pack. And I always forget some key piece of something. And here's what the flight attendant said. Number one, make a list. You're less likely to forget something if you make a list, and it also saves time. Number two, don't fold your clothes. Roll them. It's a space saver, and it lets you pack things tightly without leaving creases. Number three, look for the most versatile things in your closet. You can't pack everything, so choose stuff that can be dressy or can be casual, and things that work in a variety of situations. Simple stuff is usually good, like jeans or plain t-shirts. Number four, leave extra space, especially if you're going to do some shopping on your trip. But even if you don't, you might see something that catches your eye, so don't pack your bag to hit the airline's 40-pound limit exactly. Shoot for 39 pounds or less. Number five, wear your heaviest items, if possible, on the plane. If you're going somewhere cold, wear your coat on the plane, or if it's warmer, wear those heavy shoes and pack your flip-flops. Number six, don't forget a water bottle. It'll save you money. It's better for the environment. And number seven, go easy on the just-in-case items. That's usually why people overpack, so try to bring only stuff you know you're going to use. And we'll finish off today with a little bit of information that I didn't know, and I doubt anybody else knew either. It's worthless information, but interesting nonetheless. It turns out that aphids are a type of insect that reproduce very quickly, because when one gives birth, this is true, when one aphid gives birth, most of the babies are born already pregnant, sort of like the Kardashians. And with that, we say that's it for Monday, May 2nd, 2022, 199 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. We are here every weekday morning right about this time, just after 7 o'clock, absolutely free. We archive everything here on the website. Email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. We do politics only when it is absolutely unavoidable. And I think we got off pretty scot-free here today. Have a great day. Don't forget, now the Cardinal game is at 12:15, not 3:15, as was originally the case. And it could rock and roll weather-wise, especially to get like after midnight tonight, but we'll be here tomorrow morning come hell or high water. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.